Good morning. God's peace again. For scripture reading, or for the text today, I'd like to read from the Gospel of John, chapter number 16. And beginning with verse 21 of that chapter and reading through to the end of the chapter, verse 33. It's John 16, and beginning with verse 21, and reading the words in Jesus' name. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes away from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, how speakest thou plainly and speak no proverb? Now are we sure that you know all things, and need not that any man should ask you. By this we believe that thou comest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour comes, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning, that Lord, that you would speak to us through these words, and that, Father, we may leave from here rejoicing that your Son did die for us. Father, we thank you and ask you for in Jesus' name. Amen. This particular chapter, or this particular text, might seem a little strange. We're already past Easter. We've already celebrated the time when Christ was crucified, and we already passed or talked about his resurrection. But these things here that he is talking to his disciples about are the things that we also need to hear, are the things that we also need to be aware of. He starts out that and using this as an example about a woman being in travail when she is to give birth, and when she has delivered the child, she doesn't remember anymore the anguish and the pain. She doesn't remember all that she went through, because of the fact that she rejoices in the fact that a human is born, if you will. And here it says a man is born. But he says to then his disciples, he says, you now know, therefore, or you now have therefore have sorrow, and I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes away from you. His disciples were sorrowful, because Jesus had spoken so much to the fact that he was leaving, and he was leaving them alone. He spoke of how he was going to have to suffer and die. He spoke of all the things that he was going to have to withstand and endure. And they were confused. They'd been with him some 3+ years, and they were somewhat confused by this. They really didn't, it just didn't make sense. You know, that's the way it is to all people. When there is someone who is, let's say, outside of faith, who has not received the Holy Spirit at this point, or somebody who really doesn't understand Scripture, they don't understand God, they don't understand what this is all about, and they put a human perspective on it, that human perspective just does not fit. It just doesn't fit. into these words. Because the humanness of man is always trying to fix it in their simple way without knowing everything that they need to know. And you now know, therefore, and you now have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you. In the in First Peter, he talks about, this is actually First Peter, the first chapter. And reading verses 3 through 9, Peter says it this way: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. If need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. The disciples were sad. There was sorrow. But he says that you will be happy again, even as Peter stressed in that first chapter. You will be happy again. And I'm sure they didn't know how or why. I'm sure that just didn't make any kind of sense to them. Just for the simple fact that they just did not understand. And then he goes on and he says, And in that day you shall ask of me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Let's look at that again. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Up until that point, the disciples hadn't asked Jesus anything in his name. They had their requests. They asked him for different things. And Jesus prayed to God to grant it for them. But he says, These things I have spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time will come when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but shall show you plainly of the Father. In that day ye shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. Over time, I've noticed every now and again, this doesn't happen often, but every now and again, someone will end a prayer with, Amen. That's not right. That's not what Scripture teaches. So why is it that we have to end the prayer in Jesus' name? Because Jesus died for us. Jesus went unto God, fulfilled what it was that God wanted us to do, or wanted him to do. He took care of it all. And in praying to God for a need, and praying it in Jesus' name, is recognizing that it is Christ who has given us everything. It is Christ who died for us. It is Christ that took upon himself our sin. And by ending a prayer in Jesus' name, we are giving him the glory, because it was he that did it. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you. Now listen to this. For the Father himself loves you, or loveth you. And because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. God loves us because we loved Him. God loves us because we love Christ. And we recognize what Christ has done for us. He told his disciples in verse 26, I'm not going to have to pray to the Father anymore for you, that you're going to be able to do it yourself in my name. Now he's telling these disciples all of these things, and I'm sure at this point it was just more information, almost to the point of maybe information overload, because there was just so much for them to take in and try to understand. There was so much for them to take in and to try to understand just what it was that was going to happen. And they said to him, his disciples said to him, "Lo," or "Look, now you speak plainly. And you're not speaking to us in a proverb, or you're not speaking it to us in a way that we have to try to figure out." Some places it uses the term parables. You're not speaking to us that way anymore. And then they said, "Now are we sure that you know all things, and you need not that any man should ask you. By this we believe that thou comest forth from God." They're starting to get a little glimmer of understanding. They're starting to get a little glimmer of just who he is. They don't fully understand it yet, nor will that happen for a while. But they're starting to understand. And isn't that the way it is when God calls someone who is not in faith, has not been in faith, and he begins to call and begins to speak? There's an internal struggle that goes on. There's an internal battle, if you will. Because the mind is telling them that, hey, no, don't go down that road. They're just a bunch of lunatics. They don't know. What they're talking about makes absolutely no sense in what's going on around here in the world. Well, boy, I sure hope it doesn't. Because if it made any sense as to what was going on around in the world, it would not be of God. Because you see, God's plan is so much more complete. It's on firm ground. It's on solid footing. And it doesn't collapse, because God knows everything about the whys, the wherefores, what happened before, what will happen in the future. But they began to believe, and they began to understand. And then Jesus says to him, you know, after they had said to him, they said, "By this we believe that you came forth from God." And Jesus answered them, and he does this quite often. "Do you now believe?" Asking them a question. "Do you now believe?" In their hearts, I'm sure that they were able to answer yes, without really knowing why. But just from their limited knowledge, they were able to say that, yes, I can believe in that. It's like us trying to, if we see something going on or we have an opinion about something, and this is, you know, in our own mind, we formulate that, okay, this is the way that it is. But we don't have all the information. We don't have all of the background that is needed to come up with an absolute understanding. "Do you now believe?" And I'm sure they said, "Okay, yeah, we do." But then he goes on to tell them, he says, "Behold, look, the hour is coming. In fact, it's already here, that you shall be scattered." Now that also was something that probably threw a curve into their thinking. The hour is coming, and yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. We know what Peter said to that. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These kind of things, these kind of expressions, okay, now what is he, wait a minute, he started talking plainly, now he's starting to talk in another way that we don't understand. He said, every man to his own. In other words, every man to his own house, every man to his own village, every man to his own business, or whatever the case may be. But they will leave him, as he said, and shall leave me alone. Jesus knew he was going to have to suffer alone. But there was nothing or anyone that could help him save God. And shall leave me alone. Can you imagine what that must have felt like? Because Jesus at this point was still human. He was still in the flesh. And can you imagine? Look at a situation that you have to face on your own, all by yourself, with no help, with no one around to even to encourage you or uplift you. You have to go all by yourself. And this is what Jesus was doing. And shall leave me alone. Looking at his friends and those who had an inclination as to who he was, knowing that they were just going to turn away from him and leave him. And this is what they did. This is what they were going to do. And of course, like I said, we know what Peter said. Well, no, that's never going to happen. No, I'm going to be with you to the end. I'll die with you. Well, his intentions were good. But we know the rest of the story. But the beauty of the rest of that story is that Christ didn't forsake him. Christ did not forsake Peter. He looked at Peter. Peter understood what he had done. He turned away in shame. And Christ still loved him. And isn't that the way it is even for us today? When we do something stupid, when we do something that we know is not right, say something that is not proper, Jesus continues to look at us with love and compassion. He doesn't turn his face away from us. He doesn't just kind of put him aside, oh, okay, well, we know what he's like, and we're just going to go ahead and leave him sitting in the mud that he created for himself. That's not what Jesus does. He continues to look with love and compassion. And in Peter's case, all Jesus did was look at him after he denied him the third time. Didn't have to even say anything. And Peter knew right away what he had done. And he knew right away and was reminded immediately as to what Christ said, that you shall deny me three times. And shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone. Why? Because the Father is with me. That's how close Jesus was to God. He was living here in a physical fashion in an earthly form, and yet he was still God's son. And he could still count on God to take care of him and help him through this. He had to suffer alone, and God did indeed turn his back on him while he hung on that cross. Not because he didn't love him, but because he saw the sin and he had to turn away from it. The sin of mankind, the sin of the world, which was placed upon the shoulders of our Savior. Our sin. And God turned his back on him because of it. But he did not forsake him. He did not leave him alone. Because when Christ then deposited that sin load in the very depths of hell and overcame the devil, he rejoiced because he knew that the job was done. He knew that everything was fulfilled. And it was not only fulfilled, but it was fulfilled to perfection. It was fulfilled perfectly as he wanted it. And so now we have that hope. We don't have to do anything for it. All we have to do is believe and add nothing. I am not alone because the Father is with me. And we can take that also with us. We are not alone because Jesus is with us. He's sitting on God's right hand, praying in our behalf. Every time we have to go through a struggle, every time there is something joyful, every time there is something that we question or wonder about, he is praying to God in our behalf. Why? Because he died for us. And we are because we believe in him. We are as that snowfall that I've so often talked about, where everything is pure and white, and that's how God looks at us. All the sin, the mud, the dirt, the trash, all the garbage that you could possibly even dream up of what you have ever done is now under that snow, covered and washed away. And it's just a beautiful white landscape of perfection. That is how we appear to God, because of what Christ has done for us. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Now he's giving them some encouragement here. I remember years ago, I was going through a tough time. Satan was just kind of attacking me, and you know, things were going through a battle. And I had mentioned it to someone, another believer, and they said, "Well, when you go home tonight, pick up the scripture and begin to read. You know, God will help you out, and he'll open up something for you." This was the verse that he opened for me. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." And right away I knew where all those battles were coming from, because it sure wasn't coming from God. And then he says, "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever actually been able to sit there and think on those lines? I have overcome the world. Not just this tiny little village over here in Nazareth or wherever, or Bethlehem, or even Israel itself. I've overcome the entire world. I've overcome the sin and the deprivation and all of the nasty and the dirt that this world has to offer. I've overcome that. And you can believe in me because of it. That you can be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 35 through 39, if I can find it quickly here. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of God, or love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" All this with a question mark. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The love of Christ. "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors." How? "Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded..." Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking about this. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come." It pretty much covers everything there. But then he goes on. "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We cannot be separated from him, regardless of how the devil would try to come to you and say, "No, you're nothing. You're so sinful and nasty, and you've fallen so many times, God has no interest in you anymore." Don't believe him. Don't believe him. There is nothing that we can go through or that is placed in our path on this road that leads to eternal salvation. There is nothing there that will overcome Christ. We have to believe in him, and we have to trust in him. And sometimes it's not an easy road. There are times where it can be awful tough. But we continue to believe and pray in his name that we can continue on in this path. Some days it goes on. It may go on for several weeks. It may go on for a month. It may go on for a couple of months. But continue to pray to him for strength and for guidance and encouragement, because he will give it. And remember those words. There is nothing that will separate us from the love of God. Not a thing. Why? Because we believe in what he did for us and his salvation that he provided us through us through his Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, remind us as we leave here that, Father, you indeed do love us, and you indeed do care for us. And we don't ever want to leave you. We don't ever want to be separated from you. Even though that there are harsh times can come upon us, even though there are times where we really wonder. But yet, Father, we know that indeed there is nothing that can separate us, because you have overcome all. Lord, we thank you for these blessings. And now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.